Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. On our way into this conversation about Question J, I want to remind you The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to testing, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org. Or at SteinerShow.org is Maryland State Education Association banner. We're now going to talk about Question J. Odette Ramos is with us, Executive Director of the Community Development Network of Maryland and a leader in the Housing for All Baltimore Coalition. And Jeff Singer, former head of healthcare for homeless and a continuing advocate to end homelessness, poverty, and for housing in the city. Odette and Jeff, good to have you both with us.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
And Jeff, you there?
I'm here, if you can hear me.
We got you.
Okay.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org by email and tweet us at Mark Steiner. We have one tweet already coming in, which I'm going to hold and read in just a minute because it's a relevant question that I want to get to with this question about the Question J. But Odette, let me let you first describe to our listeners what Question J is, where it fits in the ballot, and why it's there.
Sure. So, first of all, thanks for having us. And Question J came about pretty much over the summer. There was a group of advocates who are determined to try to make an impact on ensuring that we have affordable housing in Baltimore, and decided that we needed to have an affordable housing trust fund. And this was maybe April or May. And we looked at the various options, talked to some council members, and decided that we needed a charter amendment. But instead of just doing legislation to create the fund, we needed a charter amendment. And the reason that we needed a charter amendment was because we wanted to give the city council power to create funding sources, which they can do now, but then to direct that funding source to this trust fund. Right now, the city charter does not allow them to direct funding to any sort of place at all. If they create a funding source, it goes directly to the general fund. So we needed this charter amendment to allow to have, and the reason we wanted the city council to have power to do that is just to make sure we had all the options on the table to get this thing funded. So we decided that, you know, we could have done that through legislation, but it was already May, and given the agenda of the city council, it was going to take a long time to get through. So we thought, well, we've got a few weeks before the deadline. Let's try to get signatures. And so we needed 10,000 signatures to get an initiative on the ballot. Working with United Workers and Public Justice Center and Homeless Persons Representation Project and several other organizations, Algebra Project, Working Families, worked all summer to get signatures, and we ended up turning in 18,500 signatures.
Wow!
From voters,
more than enough.
Way more than enough. Well, we knew we needed way more than 10,000 because we knew some of those signatures would get scratched off, so we went way over our goal. Our goal was 15. We went way over our goal, and we were very happy about it. So that's how it got on the ballot. The Board of Elections called it Question J. We didn't call it Question J. The Board of Elections called
it
Question J.
What do you call it?
Well, we call it Question Day, but we call it during the signature process, we talked about an affordable housing trust fund. So let me talk about an affordable housing trust fund for a minute. So there are affordable housing funds, and then there are affordable housing trust funds. There are about 770 affordable housing trust funds all over the U.S., and it is a tool not only to provide funding for affordable housing, but because that word trust is in there, most of them have commissions or boards that are citizen-driven. So this particular one that we created, it's a 12-member commission, and we're very prescriptive into who would be on that commission. People who are seeking housing, some developers, landlords, and advocates, and I think there's a few more residents on there too. So we wanted to have a good group of people, and also gave them a charge. Holding the trust fund as it's written now, our trust fund as it's written now, the Baltimore Housing would be the ones to administer it and distribute the funding. But the commission allows for accountability It will set policy for how the funds will be distributed and make sure that the funds are audited. Let me say that again. We're going to audit those funds because that's important, and it's in our trust fund legislation. So the accountability piece is very key, and that's why we wanted a trust fund rather than just an affordable housing fund.
Jeff, what would you like to add to that?
That this was a really good strategic move to energize and mobilize folks around this very important fundamental issue of the lack of affordable housing. The city has been just shameful, as has the Housing Authority, in not even trying to meet the needs of the, 45,000 extremely low-income households in Baltimore that can't pay their rent every month. You know, the city's annual plan tells us that over 5 years, they want to create 979 units of housing for the 45,000 extremely low income, the 92,000 households of any income that can't afford their housing. So to promote this idea of affordable housing, that was a brilliant move by Odette and the folks in the coalition.
So let me read this tweet that came in, and let's wrestle with this for a moment. The Housing Policy Watch tweeted in, sadly, this only seems to replicate the inclusionary housing fund we have now, no earmarked funding source attached to it. And let me add, as we talk, wrestle with that, one of my producers, I said, try to find the opposition to this and have them on the air with us because people have to oppose this. I'm not saying people have to oppose this. I said there has to be an opposition out there is what I'm saying. So he called various landlord associations, and they all said, no, we're not opposing this at all. They're not going to be able to – they either are not going to be able to fund it, or there's no plan to – there's no way to fund this. So we're not opposing it. So let's talk a bit about that. So what the Housing Policy Watch tweets in here is that, so how is this any different than what we already have, an inclusionary housing fund that has no teeth, has no money, has no effect, clearly had no effect on Port Covington at all, which is, was ramrodded through. It didn't affect the lives of poor people one iota in the city. And no earmarked funding. So how do we how do you all respond to that and to the and to why there is no real opposition to this because people aren't worried that it'll go anywhere?
So a couple of things. One, we had been talking with the builders and some developers throughout the whole process. Secondly, because it was a signature initiative.
What does that mean?
Meaning that we got signatures to put this
gotcha.
On. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just defining the word
gotcha.
Signature. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Because we got signatures to put this on the ballot, the Maryland Constitution would not allow us to put a funding source in because it is a signature. The signatures were by referendum. You can't put an appropriation by referendum according to our Constitution.
Really?
That's, I mean, we got lots of legal opinions on this.
Wow,
interesting. So,
unless it's a bond bill, you could say. You could put a bond bill in for housing for low-income housing to do
yes,
that.
But
you
couldn't
but the difference is that this was signature, people getting signatures, okay? Those bond initiatives that are on the ballot, the mayor and the city council are putting on there. They weren't because they got signatures from residents.
So I'm sorry, Jeff, and you were trying to say, welcome right back.
Just a couple of things. I'm not exactly a constitutional scholar, but I believe this is not a referendum. It's an initiative.
Correct.
What the other bond charter and the other bond questions are, in fact, referendum. A referendum is when somebody passes legislation and then the public will support it or oppose it. And that's these are complicated issues for sure, but I do want to point out that question A is on the ballot, and that would provide $6 million for affordable housing. So that is a funding mechanism, could potentially go into the Housing Trust Fund. That's a good thing, and people should support it. It was a strategic decision by the coalition not to put funding mechanisms in here, and, who am I to comment on that? we do need money for sure.
Right. So, and I appreciate that. So the other piece is that, you know, another reason we wanted to do this and had talked with the inclusionary housing folks, too, is that that law has just not been working. And I think the reason that question A is in there is to try to make that law effective, because one of the reasons that inclusionary housing law hasn't been effective and we've been working with Councilman Henry to change it was because if a developer could say, oh, I can't afford to make those, to create those inclusionary units. So they would go to the city and the city by the law, it was supposed to be able to pay for those units. Well, the city doesn't have any money to pay for those units, so they always granted waivers. So the idea behind question A was to try to be able to make the some money available to allow for more inclusionary housing. And so that's fine. It's important. So question J is really about, you know, helping the lowest income. And we're the next stage after this passes is to work with the current council, which we're excited about, on creating funding sources. And so that and also working with, you know, maybe some of the foundations might put money in. The mayor could certainly put money in. So this is a very, you know, couple of step process. You know, the other reason, you know, other than the constitutional side, but not to put in a funding source is then we'd be arguing about the funding source rather than the value of having a fund and why it's important. So now the next stage will be to work with the new council, come up with some creative funding sources, put them in, work with the current mayor or the new mayor, you know, and see if there's some other ideas out there which we can utilize from the other 770 affordable housing trust funds as to getting this funded. So it's a multi-step process. This is definitely not the signatures actually was the easy part. The rest of it is going to be hard.
So how do you get them? I was just saying, as you were speaking, Odette, I was looking at different what the Sun Papers was writing about question J. Mm-hmm. And so let me take a step back for a second. So can you read to us what question J says, what people are voting on? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front
of me.
Okay,
right. Just wanted to read that so people can see what the ballot measure said. Since it doesn't come from the council, but comes from advocates, how do you see this happening? I mean, places like Montgomery and Howard County, you know, they have kind of structures for this. So how do we establish a structure for housing? How does that happen? Where does the money come from? How do you, one of the things I've talked about with people over the course of time is in these conversations is putting a bond bill up that says that X amount of money, and Jeff, you and I have talked about this, putting X amount of money up that is for affordable housing,
yes,
not just for downtown development.
Right.
But that money is there for that purpose, mm-hmm, where it builds housing co-ops, puts people to work,
right,
building the houses themselves, creating communities. I mean, so how do you get to that point? So it doesn't. How do you ensure this is not just a shell?
Right. Well, because we have a coalition of advocates that will work with the current council members. Many of the current council members have endorsed Question J, so they're even handing out our literature during early voting and election. So they're on it. They get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of then sitting down and saying, well, what are the models out there? I mean, we had proposed early on like an Airbnb tax, and the mayor has already she's put in legislation to go ahead and do the Airbnb tax, which is fine. That's totally fine. Now we've got to work on maybe some other kinds of funding mechanisms, and also working with the foundation community. So, and a bond bill, certainly, you know, if we can get, you know, the money from Question A into the housing trust fund, that would be great. If we can get another one, that would be good too. So there's definitely models out there. And again, the good thing is that this is coalition driven, so we can hold our council members to doing it and working with them to make it happen.
Jeff, what were you about to say?
Some of us have been working on your proposal, Mark, the 20 for 20 proposal, which would put $40 million on the ballot. $40 million of bond money for affordable housing and for greening vacant houses and lots and so forth. So it's an important issue, finding the funding sources. And again, I congratulate Odette and her coalition for energizing,
yes,
and mobilizing folks around this really centrally important matter.
No, I think, let me just say the questions I'm asking you are to kind of probe where we go with this thing, not to push an opposition to question J, because I think those of us who have been in this world, as I have been for the last 40-odd years around housing equality in Baltimore, this is really important. And so the question I always have is, yeah, put something like this into being, but we got to fight for putting some teeth into it, because I remember the debates we had on this air around inclusionary housing, and it was going woo over inclusionary housing,
right,
and it's meant nothing for the city,
right? Right.
Or for the poor people, working class,
right,
people in the city,
right,
who need it, who,
mm-hmm,
really want a place to live in,
mm-hmm,
and should have a place to live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, that's, I guess, the spirit with which I was pushing.
No,
those
of course,
questions, right?
And we get that a lot, and I appreciate it because I think it's important. And the fact that people are asking those questions, I think, is great, because then you know we can work with we've been working with Mary Brooks over at the Center for Community Change, who has worked on all of the trust funds. So she's got great ideas from some good models. We've been talking with foundations. You know, can they go ahead and put some money up to start this? We've been talking with you know, the council members to figure this out. So, you know, I don't want to add a tax where a tax isn't needed, because I think people don't want that. That's for sure. So we've just got to come up with some creative mechanisms to make this happen. And we're, you know, I think we can do it.
Like, Jeff, as an aside, and come right back to question Jay, but as an aside here, just like maybe if Fort Covington and the developers there were pushed, that X amount of that, since they're getting public funds, that X amount of that money needed to go to low-income and affordable housing in bloody Port Covington and not somewhere else.
I mean, you know, well, the other thing is, right, I mean, there is language in the initiative to make sure that TIF funding can go into the Housing Trust Fund. So that was really important that it...
That's in this...
That is in it. It is absolutely a funding source that can go in it. But what we mean by that isn't, you know, the bond money that's being borrowed to create the TIF. What we're saying is once the taxes come back in, so this could be in the longer term, the city council could direct some of that money into the Affordable Housing Trust Fund.
Jeff, you were about to say what? I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm so pleased with the energizing and mobilizing, because we clearly lost with Fort Covington.
Clearly.
And, I mean, there was a coalition. There were plenty of us pushing, but we lost. The city itself, the mayor, the housing commissioner, refused to accept our common sense interpretation of the inclusionary housing law, which really does require the developers to build affordable housing without the city paying for it. If you read it, you know, Mark, we've been over this mm-hmm. time and time again, but the mayor and the housing commissioner refused to interpret it in that common sense way. So we do need a new inclusionary housing law. And the only way the funding is going to happen for question J is organize, organize, organize.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, do join us here. Your thoughts. Question Jay, we're talking about, is one of the, I think, the most important ballot questions on this city ballot. Your thoughts on your questions for our guests, your thoughts on the ballot question itself on affordable housing. 410-319-8888 is a number to join the conversation. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. You can email us at talk@steinershow.org. But do join us at 410-319-8888 with your thoughts and ideas about question Jay and where this is going. You have any idea how this is going at the moment?
We're feeling positive, feeling very positive. We've been able to raise some good amount of money to get literature and signs, and so we have some visibility. We're doing some lit drops in key parts of the city, so we're very excited. We've done some analysis also that given the way the past way that ballot issues have gone, about half of the voters actually pay attention to the to ballot issues, and so we've targeted those areas where they're really paying attention. Now, here's the thing: is that if you've early voted, which I have, you get two papers when you early vote.
Right.
You've got the one paper with all the candidates, and then the other one with all the ballot issues. So I actually think that more people are paying attention to the ballot issues, because it's not like they have to scroll down a screen. They're seeing it right there. So that's, I think, a good thing. So we've changed our strategy a little bit based on what we know now as what the ballots are looking like, to try to get more visibility out to every poll and more volunteers out. So it's been a big push. And people can go to the website, housingforallbaltimore.org, to sign up to volunteer. We really appreciate it. But I think, you know, we're feeling good. I mean, like I said, the hard part is going to be next, to try to get it funded and actually working. But we're very excited about it and pleased that it's been so receptive. And you, Mark, probably already know, you've had lots of shows on this, you know, what the real needs are. I mean, there's so many people that are housing insecure. They just have a hard time paying rent because it's over a third of their income. A third of the income is the there's threshold that people use to talk about affordability. And, you know, we've got a homeless issue. I mean, there's 3,000 families on the street every night in Baltimore City. You know, so when people talk about, oh, we've got affordable housing in Baltimore, it's more affordable than D.C. Well, yeah, for whom? You know, and so we've really got to tackle this. And I think one of the things that really woke a lot of people up was the uprising and trying to do something. But also it was sort of Port Covington saying, oh, my gosh, there's this big development coming and there's nothing for the rest of us. And so this is sort of all part of the push to get this going. And of course, the conversation about, well, what are we going to do with all these vacants? You know, the Affordable Housing Trust Fund could help, you know, nonprofits to develop some of those for affordable housing. So it's an exciting time.
Jeff, you're about to say what?
Oh, I just wanted to remind your listeners as well that there's a national Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and mm-hmm. it took us a long time both to fight for it to be created and then to get it funded. It's finally been funded. Maryland's getting its first $3 million now. And it sort of replicates what's going on with Question J. These things, unfortunately, take an enormous amount of organizing and an enormous amount of time. But we shouldn't get discouraged. We're making slow progress.
So I just want to read this to you all. So Question J reads, let me just read this as we close the conversation out. The Charter Amendment, Affordable Housing Trust Fund, Question J, Ballot Question J, Charter Amendment. The petition is for the purpose of amending this Baltimore City Charter to establish a continuing, non-lapsing Affordable Housing Trust Fund to be used exclusively to provide broadly defined projects and programs related to establishing and preserving affordable housing in Baltimore City. Revenue for the fund is provided in the Ordinance of Estimates, Grants, and Donations, mandatory and voluntary payments made pursuant to ordinances establishing development policy, a portion of tax increment finance revenue, and any other source established by the ordinance. These allocation methods are not subject to the discretion in the budget process, other fiscal priorities, or constraints imposed by revenue limitations. So the petition authorizes oversight, governance, and administration of the fund by the Department of Housing and Community Development and a 12-member commission. So that's how it reads. And so it's the first step in a long process.
Yeah, and let me just say that when we filed our petition with the Board of Elections, there was a lot of back and forth on the language to make sure that we were all on the same page. And that is a summary of the larger, and on our website, you can see the larger language of, it's about 3 pages of all of the very much more specifics as to who's on the commission, how does it run, that kind of thing. Because we couldn't put all that on a small petition piece. So, but both of those were what's called approved for advanced sufficiency, which is what the Board of Elections calls it, plus lots of lawyers involved to make sure that we got it right.
So this is Odette Ramos as Executive Director of the Community Development Network of Maryland and a leader in the Housing for All Baltimore Coalition. Joins us in the studio. Great to see you, Odette. Hope you come here more as we wrestle with this over the coming years. Great mm-hmm. to have you in studio again.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Jeff Singer calling in, former head and founder of the Healthcare for the Homeless and continuing advocate to end homelessness, and for Housing for All. And Jeff, always good to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today as well.
Keep up the good work, Mark. Thank you. And thank you, Odette.
Thank you. Take care.
And we have to have a very brief break. On the way to break, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, in its 80th year, is helping members and community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. When we come back, we'll be looking at these city council races. What effect could they have on the future of the city? Stay with us.